Yeah, I kind of have this feeling I may not have processed the photos, but I don't know. I made a little bit of a risky decision on Tuesday afternoon to upgrade the F-Web server.
Yeah, I noticed.
I was there till like 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, you know, because the upgrade, you know, keeps popping up with these little windows, says, do you want to do this, do you want to do that, you know. And if you aren't there watching it every minute, you know, it'll just stall at one of those places, so it takes a long time to get it done. And then I finally got that done, and it runs my email, so it's really important that my email works to me. And then, the wiki. And I spent all day yesterday pretty much working on that. All morning long I worked at it from home, and then I came in and worked at it from here, and I was here till 6 something last night. Well, no, it's still, there's a problem. I haven't got the math working. The math rendering isn't working, but I got some of the other stuff is working, so.
I was trying to go to the textbook website from Digital Control.
I'm sorry, yeah.
Oh, no, I had to go to my browser history to find it.
Sorry. Yeah. Anyway, well, that's the problem when you I use these long-term releases for the server. So that what that means is the last time it was updated was 2 years ago, and so when you change, a lot of stuff happens in 2 years. So anyway, I may have forgotten to do the pictures. I don't know. What number was this? Eight. Okay, so this is 8.
All of those?
Yeah, all of those, yeah.
We can just change it on our actual seat.
Yeah, if it turns out. Okay, so find B of T and Z, or Z and T. I think I like better than T and Z. I don't know, it doesn't really matter, but C and T. I of C and T for okay, what we're going to do today is digital signals with transmission lines. You really need to understand this because, you know, a lot of stuff today is digital, right? And so you're doing high-speed digital. And you need to be able to understand what's going to happen with the pulses when you send a pulse down the line. Is it going to be big enough to turn on your gate at the other end and stuff like that?
Is it like a digital transmission line?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's a transmission line in a digital circuit. Like, say, for example, you're designing
so
a computer motherboard or something, right?
So I'm not using millivolts?
Well, yeah, probably they'll be using 5 volts or something, you know, and you're trying to, you got basically maybe a CMOS driver and a CMOS gate or something, and there's, some board traces going between. What happens, right? What happens when you do that? And there's, of course, some interesting things can happen. So I think what I'll do is make you an example here. I need to make this let's make it 5 times U of T minus U of T minus T0, where T0 doesn't look like a U there. Let's make this a better U. T0 equals, okay, so let's see, if we're running at 2 gigahertz or something, how big is a pulse would you have, with putting some pulse on there that was, going a clock at 2 gigahertz, what would that be? Like maybe giga is
10 to the 9th,
so it'd be 10 to the, maybe make this 10 to the minus 9th seconds, 1 nanosecond, okay? T minus T0. Yeah, in other words, it's a pulse, here's your little thing here. Here's 0, here's T, here's T0, and it comes up here, goes up to 5 volts, and comes back down. This is, you know, that's 5. Okay? So you're putting that pulse in there.
Okay.
So this will be for part A, and for part B, this is VS equals, and then VS will be equal to, let's do 5 U of T, and for part C, that's enough. You guys don't need to do that much work. Okay, so let's look at right transmission lines and digital circuits. Oh, I gotta put something on the end here.
100 ohm resistor.
Oh, I think I'm gonna give you a part C. We'll make this guy. We'll put the load on here. Okay, for part A, a load is I got 50 ohms. Let's make this Z0 equals 50 ohms. And the distance, I gotta make the distance here. Make this 0, and this guy right here, how big would a circuit board be, maybe? I don't know. I don't want to make inches. We'll make it 10 centimeters, okay? The Z-axis right there. And load is a 25-ohm resistor. And then part C down here, or I guess to this guy, we'll do load is 75 ohm resistor. And for part C. VS is equal to 5 U of T, but the load is a diode. We'll say I of D equals I0 e to the minus ED over 0.026 volts, approximately like that, and I0 equals 10 to the minus 12 amperes. Okay? So this will help you, this will get you right in there, digital, D-I-G-I-T-A-L, systems. Okay, so the first thing we want to do is we want to talk about a tool called the pulse bounce diagram. So what I want to do is I'm just going to do an example problem here, because I think that maybe is the best way to do this. So I'll do something like this. I'm going to put in just U of T. I'm going to put, 50 ohms. And then I'm going to have trans- transmission line here with, I'm going to put 100 ohms on the end, and I'll make this 75 ohms here. This is Z0. And let's see, I guess I need to give you a velocity over here. Vp equals 0.66C, okay? So it's like, that would be RG58, basically. Kind of doing there. Okay, so what we want to do is we want to figure out what happens when I do this, this turn on this U of T here. And, you know, we've already kind of discussed this a little bit. So what do you expect to happen, you know, when I turn on U of T here, right here, just right at T equals zero, what will happen? What will the voltage right here be? How will I figure that out? We've got to be careful. This is U of T. It can't tell anything about the whole thing yet. It's just right at T equals zero. It's just right here. Just turned it on. Just right after U equals T equals zero plus. Just, you know, milliseconds or something, picoseconds after I turned on this U of T. What would that be? Okay, this is going to be U of T here, but what's it going to be right there? Well, that's what it would look like if this thing was open circuit here, right? This would look like U of T if that was U of T, but this doesn't look like U of T. It's launching a line, wave, and there's a V plus and an I plus going down that line, right?
So you do a voltage divider with one of them being 50, one of them being 75?
Yes, yes, excellent.
Yeah, we did that.
Yes, very good. Okay, so so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to draw this thing we call a pulse balance diagram. Okay? This axis right here is time. Okay? This axis right here is z. Right here is z equals zero. This is z equals whatever this length is. I mean, maybe I should say what it is here. We could...
L.
Doesn't matter. I'm just going to call it L. Okay? Length L. And what happens when you turn on U of T at time T equals zero, it will launch a wave which travels down at the speed of the velocity right here. This has the velocity Vp equals Vp, okay, whatever. It's the velocity. We know what that is, okay? If you know the L and the C, you know the velocity and the Z zero, the L and the C for the line. And I'm assuming this is all lossless. Maybe I should write over here lossless. Yeah, right. So basically there's a a forward going wave that's traveling down the line. And if I look at a certain time here, right here, I'm going to see nothing until... I'll see a voltage pulse going down until I get out this far, and then I'll see nothing from there on out. Does that make sense? In other words, if I was at this time, say, T1 here, you know, at T1, I'm going to see there's going to be a voltage, but it will go, you know, if I follow this along right here, I will see, in Z, I would see a pulse that would go, you know, it would go right here until it got to there, and then it would be zero on, like that, on the transmission line.
Oh,
in other words, if I had a scope everywhere along here and I could graph this as a function of Z, I'd see back here, I'd see a pulse, right?
Until that time.
And the height of this pulse right here, the height of that pulse, I'm going to call this V1 plus because it's the first one going out. So I can work over here. V1 plus, just like Austin said, is going to be U of T. Well, I don't know. I'm going to just figure out how big it is. I don't need a T. Put in the T and Z yet. could put that in, but I just want to make this easy here. V1, 1 plus. Okay, V1 plus is equal to 1, that's the U of t, right here, that's the coefficient of U of t, times 75, so times 75 over 75 plus 50, which is equal to, let's see, this is 3 times 25, and that's 5 times 25, so it'll be 3/5, is that right? Which equals 0.6, okay? Okay, so this guy, you can write on this forward-going one, you put 0.6 going that way.
Okay.
Okay. Now, as we follow this thing along, it's going along, you know, at this velocity vp here, and finally it gets over here, right? When it hits over here, there's a boundary condition, the ratio of voltage to current. Maybe I should put volts here, and we could compute the current if you want, right? I could write I1 plus, let's do that first, I1 plus, that will be the voltage, that, I mean the current that goes with this, right? It'll be V1 plus divided by Z0, right? Which is 0.6 over 50, right? No, 75.
And this is like a point in time.
Well, there's a current that goes along with this thing. I mean, if I'm graphing voltage, it's going to be V1 plus, right? If I graph a current, it would look like it, but it will be just a, you know, in units of amperes, and it'll be this number instead of that.
Is that at a point in time?
Well, it's kind of telling you how high this is right here. That's what this is. V1 plus is this height right here. Or there's a corresponding I1 plus that's that height as well. Okay, going down the line. So there's simultaneously, if you look anywhere along here, anywhere where there's a voltage, there's a current, right? So I'm going to have a current that's going to be this 0.6 over 75 that also goes down like that. So I could write, you know, 0.6 divided by 75 if I wanted amperes, right? Okay? So that's the I plus that goes with that thing. Now, that I plus and V plus are going to come down here, and they're going to hit here. Now, they're in the ratio of 1 to 75, right? Now, that's not right, because it needs to be 1 to 100 now, right? Does that make sense? So what happens here? There'll be a reflection generated, right? So that the total voltage right here to the total current, the ratio, will be 100, right? And we did that before, so there's a reflection that's generated, and it will go back down the line at the same slope, only negative, you know, going back this way. You know, this slope right here, what is this slope? Well, the slope is rise over run, so this would be 1 over Vp, right? Negative 1 over Vp, right? And this would be, you know, this guy's going that way, and this is plus 1 over Vp if you, you know, look that over rise over run, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Okay. So this guy goes down at a slope of minus 1 over Vp. That comes back at 1 over Vp. And this reflection right here, how do we get that reflection? Well, it's just like before. We did this before, and we get a V1 minus, which will be what's going here. You know, this is V1 plus, and this is I1 plus right there. Now we're going to have a V1 minus equals something going this way, and the slope here is like this. Whoops. Man, that looks bad. Like that. And we'll have, you know, an I1 minus equals something here, right? Okay, so V1 minus is going to equal gamma. There's a reflection coefficient that goes right here. There's a gamma. Gamma, I'll call it gamma sub load because it's on the load end. So this is gamma sub load times V1 plus, right? And it's the same reflection coefficient as we had before. So, right, gamma L, well, except you got to be careful. You can't use Z's. If there was a capacitor on here, you can't use 1 over J omega C for the load impedance, right? I'm assuming something, you know, this is easy stuff because this guy right here is no capacitance, right? No inductance, just resistance, right? So we're not doing phasers, but it's the same formula. So it'll basically be RL minus R0, which is equal to Z0. I mean, maybe I should call this R0 equals Z0, right? If it's a lossy line, then your Z0 would have been complex for phasers right here. And, you know, this theory needs to be modified for that. We're doing the easy case. But this is a pretty useful case because when you're designing a circuit board, you want to make those lines as lossless as possible, and it's not going to be too far, right? So it's a pretty good approximation. Yeah, right. We'll do this. We'll eventually do this with a capacitor on the end. You can kind of understand what's going on there. But let's take things one step at a time. Okay. Okay. Notice I didn't give you any capacitors over here. So, I mean, the diode is tough enough. Okay. But, you know, it's doable. So RL plus R0, right? So this is gamma load right there. So this guy will then equal, well, let's figure out what this is. RL is 100. So 100 minus 75 over 100 plus 75, I guess, right? Is that right? Did I do this right? Yeah, I did that right. Okay, so this is 25 over 175, right? So there's 4 25s in 100 and then 3 more in 75, so that's 1/7, right? 1 over 7. Now, so the reflection here is going to be 1/7 of 0.6, okay? Now that's the voltage reflection, right? Okay. Now what's going to happen here, when this initial voltage comes down here and hits, the ratio of the voltage to the current is 1 to 75, right? Well, now it has to be the ratio of voltage to current has to be 1/100, right? In other words, what happens is that, you know, the voltage needs to go up a little bit. Let's see. 1 over 100 is 1/100. So the voltage, V equals I, Z. So the voltage needs to go up because, you know, it's now voltage is like 100 to the current, right? The voltage has to be 100 times the current. So the current has to go down and the voltage has to go up. Now, does that make sense? Let's think about that. You see, suppose this instead of 75, let's think about it easy. Suppose it was 1 to 1, okay? So voltage equals current right here, and now voltage would have to be 100 times the current, right? So the voltage would have to jump up and the current would jump down, right? So that's what's happening here. And so this I1 minus, actually, remember, it's a reverse going wave, right? And you remember that I1 minus equaled V1 minus divided by minus Z0, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
So that means that this guy is going to be negative. So this will be, I'll just put V1 minus divided by minus Z0 here. Okay, so it's a negative current actually going back, okay? And the reason you want it to be negative is because the total current, if we were to look right here, just right smack about here, okay, you would see the forward going current and then you'd see a reverse going current, right? Just a tiny second later. And that reverse going current, the forward going current would be up here and the reverse going current would be negative, so the total would drop. Okay? And the same thing would happen with the voltage, except it'd be the other way around. The forward going voltage would be here, and then just a tiny second later it would be up here, because the reverse, this guy, V1 minus, actually added on to V1 plus. Okay? So the total voltage went up and the total current went down. And now it's in the ratio of 1 to 100. Okay, the total at this point right here. Okay? So now it comes flying back down here, and what happens when it hits right here? Part of it will get absorbed, but part of it will, I mean, there was, just like there was part of it, was there was energy, you know, went into this resistor here, right here, right? You heated it up a tiny bit, and you're heating it up the whole time this is going on, you know, because the voltage here at this point would be V1 plus plus V1 minus, right? And there's a current, right?
Yeah.
And the power is V times I, right? So you're heating up that resistor right here once the pulse gets there, right? But, you know, so you're going to come back here, and now what you see, use superposition. Think about this with superposition, okay? We turn off this source right here because we've already taken into account what it did, right? Now it looks like a 50-ohm resistor, right? So now we're going to have, over here, we're going to have a gamma source equals Rs minus R0 over Rs plus R0, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just like before. So that's equal to 50 minus 75 over 50 plus 75 equals 50 minus 75 is minus 25 over 125. So this would be minus 1/5, like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so now there's going to be a reflection, which is going to come down here at the same slope. You know, this guy is supposed to be parallel to that guy right there. And this guy will be V2 plus equals gamma times V1 minus gamma source. Right? Okay? And then there's going to be a one over here, I mean, there'll be a current here, which will be I2 plus equals V2 plus divided by Z0, right? You get that? And then this guy's going to go back, and it's going to be V2 minus equals gamma L times V2 plus, right? And I2 minus equals gamma L. I'll just do divided by minus Z0. Just do V2 minus divided by minus Z0. And et cetera, right? Dot, dot, dot. Okay, now, it is interesting to take, and you can actually sum all these things up. Okay? I mean, using a geometric series. It's not that difficult, just a little bit of algebra. Okay? And what would you expect that you would get as you summed up all those reflections going all the way to t goes to infinity? What would you get? What would be the voltage along the line? You guys, you don't want to.
Or do you just take out the 75?
Yeah, you just take out. It's just like a circuit, right? Remember, these are just wires, right? Right.
So
it's like you had 100 ohms right on there, right? And the voltage across here is going to be all the same, because each time you multiply by gamma and gamma, gamma is always less than one, magnitude less than one, right? So the little reflections get smaller and smaller and smaller, right? That means you can do the geometric series,
that's
right?
That's why we ignore it normally in circuits, because
yes,
it's so small, we don't have to worry.
Yes, because it happens so fast, because you see, you know, if this was, well, I don't know, you know, 10 centimeters, and it's going how many meters per second, you know, and so on, right? It happens all pretty fast. Boom, 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 all those, you know, reflections.
Does that mean with a lower oscillation, it could actually make a difference?
I don't know if I understand what your question is. See, if that L was zero, we wouldn't have to do this, right?
Yeah. He's saying with a lower VP, though, you
have to... Oh, if you had a lower VP, a lower velocity, then it would take longer to happen, yes. You know, if your velocity got cut in half, it would take twice as long for the whole thing to converge, right? Yep. And so you actually have to think about that. When you make a circuit board, the circuit board has a fiberglass dielectric often, especially if you're doing what they call strip line instead of microstrip. In other words, you have two layers. You know, you have the upper layer, which is a trace, and the bottom layer, which is your ground plane. Mm-hmm. And then there's dielectric in between. It's the fiberglass material the circuit board is made out of, right? And fiberglass material, you know, has an epsilon, which is higher than epsilon zero, which means that the capacitance per meter is higher than it would have been in air. Okay, which means that it's not going to go at the speed of light. It's going to go slower. And so, you know, that will make your effective circuit board thing effectively twice as big if the velocity is half as much, right?
Why does the capacitance slow it down?
Because the velocity, VP is equal to 1 over root LC, where L is the inductance per meter and C is the capacitance per meter. If you make C bigger...
That's like saying that the fiberglass is like a capacitor in between.
Yes, it is. It's like it's a dielectric in between. It's really a capacitor there, right? I mean, there's two planes. You know, you got your trace on top and your ground plane on the bottom, and that's your capacitor. And that's, you know, there's a capacitance per meter. You know, if you had a meter long of this circuit board trace, you could measure what that capacitance was. That would be this C right here. Now, the L is probably about the same as it is in air because the L is dependent upon the mu. And the mu has to do with magnetic properties of the material, which would be normally we don't use things like iron or ferrite or whatever in our circuit board material. So mu is mu zero, basically, like air. Well, yeah, let's check and see. You see, L is proportional. Let's see, how do I write proportional? It's like this, proportional to mu, and C is proportional by the same constants to epsilon, okay? And so if you take 1 over the square root of mu 0 epsilon 0, you get 3 times 10 to the 8th meters per second, which is the speed of light, right? Yeah. In fact, if you derive the wave equation in electromagnetic fields using E and H instead of V and I, you see really on this thing there's a voltage across here, right?
Yeah.
Well, that voltage really means there's an E field from, you know, one side to the other, right? Because the integral of E dot dl is voltage. The integral of E times distance, you know, is voltage, right? And there's a current that's going through with this wire. And the integral of h dot dl, if we integrate around there using Ampere's law, integral of h dot dl is the current through, right? So you can derive the wave equation in E and H. And the same place where we got Vp was 1 over root Lc, you will get, you know, the velocity of the E and the H field, you know, is 1 over root epsilon mu.
Is there still an E field on the other wire if everything?
Well, the E field is an across kind of a thing, like voltage. The E field points from this one to that one. If this was plus and that was minus, it would point from there to there, right?
Yeah, but like, what if everything's absorbed? What happens to the E field?
You mean on the resistor on the end?
Yes.
Well, then there's no reflected wave, and there's just an E field. Like, say, suppose this was 75 ohms, like that was. Then this gamma would have been zero here, right? So it just go boom, and it converged as soon as it got there, okay?
Does that mean there's an
Yeah, there's an E field going through the resistor. The integral of E dot dl through the resistor is the voltage, right? And there's a current going through the resistor. If you take the integral of H dot dl around this wire, you will get the current. And there's actually power dissipated there. In fact, it's very interesting. Unfortunately, you guys won't get to take electromagnetic propagation and radiation. But if you take those wires out there that are the transmission lines, you got two wires like this. There's an E field between them, and there's an H field around the wire. Okay. And it's interesting to look, where is the power being transferred? In other words, where is the power that's in that transmission line? Where is it going? I mean, where is the actual energy being? It's outside the wire, because it turns out that E cross H is basically power per square area, okay, per unit area, square meter, I guess I should say. And the E field is this way, and you got the wire like this, so the E field's like that way, and if the current's going this way, the H field is this. So you go E cross H, and the power is going in that direction. But it's outside the wire. Inside the wire, if you do E cross H, you got J equals sigma E. J is the current density, right? In other words, to make the current move down that wire, you're going to have an E field pushing it. It's like Ohm's law. J equals sigma E is like Ohm's law in fields, okay? So you got an E field pushing the current down the wire. And if you do that E cross the H, okay, the H is going so suppose you're here's the center of the wire, you're right out here on this side, right? Okay. So if I do E, that E, and the H there is this way. So if I do E, E cross H, no. E cross, see the current's this, oh no, the E field's H field's this way, because the current's that way. So I go E cross H, and it points toward the center of the wire. Right? So there's a whole bunch of power flowing into the center of the wire due to the part that's pushing if the sigma was infinity, then you'd have zero E field, right? Because J equals sigma E, if you still got a current, but, sigma's infinity, you don't have to have any E field to start that current, basically, right? The limit of sigma goes toward infinity. Sigma is the conductivity. So as your conductivity goes toward infinity, that E cross H that's going into the center of the wire goes down to nothing, right? That's the E cross H that's heating up the wire losses.
Are those wires hot?
Hopefully they're not, because hopefully they're so conductive, the sigma's gigantic, and there isn't very much E field to cause the current to go down the line. They usually use steel-clad copper, copper-clad steel, Copper on the outside and steel on the inside. Steel is much stronger than copper, and so it will, hold the tension, right? Okay. Copper is a better conductor. And then another thing you learn when you take, electromagnetic fields, the propagation and radiation class that we aren't teaching, another thing you learn is that there's a thing called skin effect. Okay, as you go higher and higher in frequency, if you have a conductor, a round conductor like this, the fields, the E and the H, are big on the outside, and they drop off exponentially as you go toward the center of the wire. So what does that mean? You have a big fat wire like this, and you think it's going to be low conductivity or low resistance? No, it's about the same as if you had a pipe like this, right? Because the inside part isn't carrying any current.
It's just the copper.
Yeah, and it kind of makes sense because, if you put plus charges on that wire, they're going to want to be away from one another, so they're all going to be around the outside, right? Okay. And so as they're moving down the wire, Yeah, that's where the copper clad works really nice, because the copper is where the current is flowing and the inside is what's holding the thing, right, mechanically, and so... Yeah, so it works out. Well, I was going to ask you, did you survey everybody?
No.
I mean, next year, according to what we had on the schedule, it was communication systems.
Yeah.
But you guys have to decide what you want, and you need to do that pretty soon, because if we wait too long, Dr. Logan will say, you know, he's kind of, what shall I say, you know, he says, well, this is the way it's going to be, that's it, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're gonna change his mind, you don't want to do it at the last minute.
So Renee sent you the list?
She did, yeah. Did I send you the list?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, remind me after class, I need to send you the list, because I thought I did that a couple times, but I keep forgetting or something. But anyway, yeah, if you want something else, you know, power electronics, whatever.
Is that a possibility too?
Like, whatever you want. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, yeah. That's what the customer thinks, as long as we get all those. And you were going to take communication. Well, I'm fine switching out that one. VLSI I want to take.
Yeah. Well, VLSI will be there. VLSI will be there no matter what, because it's Kurt or Larry teaches that.
Yeah,
right?
I wanna
it's basically whatever you want me to teach.
Okay.
So. Yeah, so there's either digital control, power electronics, propagation and radiation, communication systems, or analog design, I guess.
So you guys took that and just the two of you, but...
Yeah, but like I would... Well, if it would best benefit everyone else, I would
have
mind
power electronics.
Mm-hmm.
You guys did.
It seems like a useful class.
Yeah, so anyway, there was more people on that list than we surveyed. So that's one good point for you, because you can say, look, you know, we found more people that weren't asked. You know, we just surveyed in electronics and all these other guys weren't in that class.
Yeah.
You know, so you could easily change the votes, because there were very few votes on either one.
Do you happen to know if there are people signed up for communications?
I don't know. Yeah, right. It wouldn't make a difference. It would just change the name of the class, not the time or anything.
Yeah.
And so it won't change. I mean, we'll have to do a few things in the computer.
Yeah, but I was just wondering to see how many people are.
Okay, well, it looks like we didn't get down to part C. So this is, we'll see, this will be for homework number 9, okay? So up here is homework number 8, A and B, and here's homework number 9, okay?
Okay, so you wanted us to write an equation to represent the VZ of T?
Basically what I want is the pulse bounce diagram and that you know how to do it. Maybe I should say, find V of five centimeters and T or something like that. Okay, so you can plot that as well, right? And use the pulse bounce diagram for the V of Z and T and I of Z and T. Okay, because right there, you know, if you understand how to do this pulse bounce diagram at you know 5 meters or something, that'll be halfway down the line, right? So you'll see nothing, 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 bang, you see V plus, right? Nothing, just V plus from here to here, and now it added on V1 minus, right? And so on. Now, if you want to go the other way, you know, we already talked about that looking across this way, right? So if you go down, you'll see what it looks like in time at that one position Z. So this diagram gives you everything. But for part C, there's one more thing you have to do. And that has to do with the gamma L. The gamma L will be, it won't be a linear thing. See, this diode curve is not linear, right? This is linear to say V minus equals gamma V plus, right?
Okay.
But it won't be linear anymore. We'll have to do something about that. So, but it's a real life kind of a thing that you have to solve. You know, you're going to be using electronics on the end, which is not linear often. Okay, well, are there questions? Does this make sense? You think you can do the homework?
I will definitely try my best.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay, good. Well, if you need help, of course, come by, and I'll be glad to get you